Well, hello, my friends. Welcome back to Carpo's channel. Welcome back to 15-Minute Free Thinking, and welcome back to my thoughts. I've been kind of debating starting this for probably the last hour as I was doing other things, and I just thought, no, you know, I'll do it later. I was going to do this yesterday. But I thought this was an important topic, and something that probably is the most important topic that I can possibly think of in today's atmosphere. And that specifically entails the Western world, but of course the rest of the world as well. When we can't change our minds about situations, we have a serious problem. So before I go any further, I should start off with a song that I wrote just for this podcast. It's about changing our minds. Don't worry, it's very short, and I'm not going to sit here and burden you with an entire song. It's just a little clip I made for fun. Well, changing our minds was never said to be easy. Honesty to ourselves seems to be in short supply. Living on the edge of the blade is uneasy. But there ain't no alternative to telling ourselves a lie. I'd rather die.
I thought it would be fun to kind of start off with a little bit of a light humor here. Yeah, I do have a sense of humor, believe it or not. And I've realized over the years that I may come across too serious on YouTube and on my podcasts. Maybe even more so on my podcasts because I tend to talk about more serious topics. But I don't take shit too seriously. I live my life. I enjoy my family, my friends, my experiences. And even though I'm always paying attention to what's going on in the world, I don't let it anger me. I don't let it frustrate me and piss me off, with the rare exception. Now, I'm not going to get into that specifically yet, but I want to talk about changing minds and why it's so important that we are able to change our mind. We all know that virtue signaling has become a major component of many people's wardrobe. Let's just put it that way. A lot of folks want to say that I am a supporter of free speech, or I'm a supporter of the Second Amendment. Others want to say I'm a supporter of anti-racism. I'm a supporter of this or that, whatever it might be. Save the whales, save the bees, save the trees, save the whales, save the snails. It's the old George Carlin thing, but my biggest issue here, and what I really want to cover, is the fact that, you know, over the last couple of years, I've changed my mind on a lot of things. But that's nothing new or novel to this specific year. Every year, as I learn new things, I change my opinion on what matters. And the line to that song, living on the edge of the blade is uneasy, it pertains to this picture I drew, which I don't know where I left it, but this picture of a guy walking on the edge of this extremely steep mountain. In fact, there's a video that perfectly sums it up. This guy that climbed some Patagonia mountain, and he was sitting on this very top precipice. There's nowhere to go on either side. You're screwed. You've got to, like, rappel down. But there you are on the top. It's like the most uncomfortable place to be. But if you jump to either side, there you are. You can't see the other side. And that's how I feel about politics and everything else. We're not seeing the other side. We are so immersed and entrenched in what we want to believe is true that we're not willing to look at anyone else. And this has always been true, but it is so much worse today. And I'm not going to talk about the media here and go into all the politics, because what bothers me is that so many people are hung up on what he said, she said. And while the media is talking about guns, CRT, racism, language, censorship, things like this, and then making fun of conspiracies, a lot of people are just sitting there going, well, I mean, what do we do? there are real issues that we have to deal with, but we don't have the tools to deal with them because no media is talking about what's important. And in the past, this was something that was just like, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. But many conspiracies have been proven to be real over the years. You know, the cigarette companies, more doctors smoke Camels, the sugar companies, Nestle, you know, people buying up water rights and food rights. And a lot of people have been warning others through the decades, but nobody was listening because nobody wants to hear the fact that the pretty little world they have painted for them is not the real world that they live in. In fact, I've talked to people in California and elsewhere. I remember a conversation with someone who said that, well, if something bad ever happens, they'll just wait for the government or the fire department to come and bail them out. In the real common sense issues of life are thrown out the window in a crisis, and all of a sudden a person is forced to change their mind. Whereas much of the time, a person is not faced with that adversity or issue until it's too late. And then they change their mind. And it's because we are so afraid. Going back to conspiracies, the reason why I brought that up is because so many of them have proven themselves to be real. But the narrative for what is appropriate, what is normal, has been hijacked for so long that people are afraid to speak out against anything or for anything, because they're afraid that they will negate their position within their group. That if you tweet the wrong thing, if you say the wrong thing, then you will be banished from your team. And the unfortunate side effect of this is that nobody who's worth a damn, or rather, I should say, many, just because a person's popular doesn't mean they're worth a damn. What I mean is anybody who anyone listens to is afraid to say anything bad. You've got the Mark Wahlbergs of the world apologizing to China. Oh, I didn't mean to offend you. You've got folks out there who are afraid to say anything bad about corporations. You've got the nature channels on YouTube that are now just sponsoring content that and talking about, you know, subjects and topics that really aren't important to us, but that they're getting paid to talk about. And we start to change our minds on things. We see things that aren't the way they used to be. It's not that we're wrong for being almost nihilistic about some of these things. It's about we see the corruption. We see what's fucked up. We see the world for what it is. And within that, we have to admit that we're still wrong. We still don't have all the answers. We still don't know what's really going on. But when I mentioned earlier all these topics the media bring up, you know, things about race theory and guns, all this isn't a major issue to most Americans. Most Americans don't care about this. They care about their lives, their own lives. And if you're, say, a single individual, maybe all that matters to you is tax rebates or, you know, being able to have write-offs or whatever it might be. For parents, it's completely different, because not only do we have the earned income credit or the child's tax credits, things like that to deal with, but we also have much of the issue with the schools themselves, having as parents to say, do we think we should have our kids in masks? Should we get our kids vaccinated? All these different topics that come up. And now they've become an issue of contention, an issue of debate, an issue to where if you believe this, you're a fool. And if you believe this, you're a fool. And there's no changing of minds with the information. What's come out over the last 2 years, when 2 weeks to stop the spread turned into 2 years to stop the spread, a lot of people started asking questions, for example. But it's not just with the current pandemic. That's just one small part of a bigger picture. I mentioned earlier, I was talking with my mom, and I was saying that Trump himself, for example, was just a symptom of a bigger issue we have. Pardon me. And that what's going on right now is much bigger than any politician, but that a lot of folks are really wrapped up and still believe that the president affects, say, gas prices, or that politicians really have any say in corporate America, when in fact it's the opposite. Corporate America are the ones that direct the people. But every year we're learning new things. And once we integrate this, sometimes it does not agree with what we want to believe to be true. and so we throw it out. We need to listen to the other argument, but the other side of this is, and this is something I've found consistently, when I have a debate with someone and I ask them for evidence, it falls apart. Even if they send a link, it's to somebody else or a video or somebody else saying something. I've noticed that nobody on any side does any real critical research anymore. And if we do, hey, I'm not saying that I'm innocent, because I look into all the info I can regarding all topics, but it is lacking. It comes down to the dead internet theory, which is a completely different topic. The fact that most of these, you know, links and things like when you say you get a million web pages, really that's only, you know, probably a couple hundred if you're lucky, and that it's all catered to what's in the algorithm. And so we're kind of marketed to in that way and forced to kind of take whatever comes our way. So we're limited to information on whichever topic we particularly want to see, and confirmation bias takes over. It's unfortunate. But meanwhile, and the biggest issue is that the people need help. We have a fucking just completely annihilated infrastructure. We have people, when the UN came to visit years back, apparently they saw a couple towns in Alabama and said that these are the worst towns they've ever seen in any first world country, in any Western countries at all. The U.S. has some of the worst ghettos and some of the worst crime and poverty in the modern, what you would call, I guess, the Western world. It's horrible. And yet we allow it to happen because we are blaming other people for the problems, blaming the wrong people, because we're unwilling to change our minds as we receive new information. We aren't willing to even look at the fucking information. Something I changed my mind on recently, for example, I was in support of, you know, early lockdown measures and seeing if we could mitigate this, but it didn't work out. I heard Noam Chomsky say something the other day, and this, I guess I'm using this as an example of how I can say somebody who I used to respect said something I can't believe. And he was asked in an interview, what should we do about people who don't want to get vaccinated? And Noam Chomsky, he says, we should basically isolate them and force them to ostracize themselves or isolate themselves from society. And when he was asked, how do they get food, kind of probably jokingly, he says, that's their problem. And I thought about this. Here's one of the most well-respected liberal minds out there saying, if people don't choose to do what they're told, you should lock them up. And I thought of the irony here, you know, regarding when we talk about, you know, tyranny and socialism, capitalism, and how I've changed my mind on these different topics so much. I finally realized in a lot of ways, like, capitalism is okay. It's just not when it's crony capitalism or dominated by corporate interests and lobbying, which it is. And that gets extremely complicated. But the biggest issue is everybody wants to take sides and they want to know what's true. They don't want to have ambivalence or ambiguity. They don't want to say, I'm not sure. It's just not something people can say. Two things that seem to be, people are afraid to say. One, I changed my mind. And B, I'm not sure or I don't know. You don't hear that very often. How often have you seen a fucking YouTube comment where it says, well, I don't know. I'd have to look into that. It's just non-existent. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody knows what's true. And when half the people believe one thing and half the people believe another, and they're directly polar opposites, then somebody's wrong. It's just how it is. But the biggest issue here and the underlying problem is that nobody feels heard or listened to. Their politicians won't listen to them, their officials, people in their towns, their cities, their mayors. They just don't feel heard. And so for the first time in history, people are speaking out, and a lot of people are changing their minds about a lot of things right now. And something I'd like to point out is it only matters when it affects us. Something to be aware of. When people start a cause like protecting or finding lost children, it's often because they lost a child. It's a good thing. When people have an event that happens to them, they try to, you know, reach out and change that in the world. the same thing is happening right now, but it's so big. It's so wide because it's the first event in history that everybody on Earth was actually affected by, COVID. And so it, since it's a cause we're all affected by, everyone is speaking out. Unfortunately, there are many voices who don't know a damn thing about what's going on and claim to. And I'm being very careful because I have a reason for my beliefs. I need facts. I need figures. But even then, I'm very cautious about what I'm willing to believe. And I am a fence sitter, but I've come to the conclusion that we all should be because we don't know what the hell is going on. And that's okay, because it doesn't matter. Brings me back to changing our minds. Often, maybe the biggest thing we need to change our minds about is how we perceive the world and what we think is important. Because if we're out there focusing on the news and watching the media every day, we're not living our lives. Before I finalize this, I would like to read something about anger. It's an article. Thriveworks.com is where it's from. It says, "What is anger? Is it a healthy, normal response?" And it talks about the functionality of anger. Here's some good-to-know tidbits about anger offered by a psychotherapist, John Sovek. Take it for what you will. I just enjoy sharing a few things that others can perhaps define better than I can in a short podcast. Number one, although anger feels like a big dominant emotion for most people, in psychology, it is often viewed as a secondary emotion. This means that anger is an easily accessed and primal response, which behind it are the true triggering emotions, such as frustration, abandonment, loneliness, and loss. And in our society today, we all know this is a huge thing. All of you know about loneliness and loss, even if you have a family. I do. I have a loving family, but I understand and I see others who are suffering by themselves through the entire, you know, their entire lives sometimes. And that can cause them to be locked down and focused on the negative because it's easier. It's an emotion, a secondary emotion that allows you to be frustrated with other people for things that maybe they didn't do or maybe situations that aren't true just because it makes us feel good. Number two, as a biological response, anger releases huge amounts of cortisol and adrenaline into the bloodstream, which, over the long term, interferes with the body's ability to heal itself. And this is very important for all of us who are trying to improve our immune systems and be happier people, to protect ourselves against disease and viruses. The best thing we can do is to honestly turn off the news and just live our lives. It's not that we... I hear this a lot. People say, I have no fear. The truth is, if you feel butterflies in your stomach and frustration and anger towards a situation, you've already lost that. Your body is already in fight or flight. It's too late. If you're texting with someone and it gets confrontational and all of a sudden you feel it, and I know every single one of you has felt this, whether you're texting on YouTube or a message and somebody's texting and they say something offensive or that you want to respond to, your heart starts beating before you even respond to that goddamn comment. Don't do it. Walk away. And you're always happy. I've found this so useful in my life to be able to walk away from bullshit, to be able to laugh at people. Often people say, oh, you must be mad. You're angry. Just ignore them. Don't let it get to you. Just live your life because anger will cause you more health problems than perhaps anything because it manifests itself as stress. And it says, number three, and this is key too, occasional anger is fine for the body as long as there is recovery time for the body to clear itself of cortisol and adrenaline. Constant building anger are detrimental to the body and often ignored because a person has become accustomed to living in a toxic and overstimulated environment. And my friends, that's something I've experienced with a lot of people who you can just tell are angry all the time. You hang out with them, they seem happy, they smile, they tell jokes. Some of them tell jokes a lot. But then deep down inside, they're pissed off at the world. I'm not that guy, and I don't ever want to be that guy. I really love and embrace the world. It seems that people who claim others are negative are often negative themselves, whereas others who attach to positivity ironically, tend to be quite negative as well. Some of the, quote, hippies and spiritual people can be some of the most aggressive, angry sons of bitches and bitches that I've ever met in my life. And I want to read another thing before I go here. This is from sciencedaily.com. Take it for what you will, once again. And this was about being bitter and angry. It says, unlike regret, which is about self-blame and a case of woulda, coulda, shoulda, acrimony points the finger elsewhere, laying the blame for failure on external causes. When harbored for a long time, says Warsh, bitterness may forecast patterns of biological dysregulation, a physiological impairment that can affect metabolism, immune response, or organ function, and physical diseases. Is bitterness a medical disorder? It is one thing to suggest that bitterness may cause sickness, quite another to propose it may be recognized as a mental illness. But Linden argues that bitterness is actually a medical disorder and should be categorized as post-traumatic embitterment disorder, PTED. He estimates that between 1 and 2% of the population is embittered, and by giving the condition a proper name, people with PTED will receive the therapy and attention they deserve. Now, I don't necessarily buy into this or the titles. Everyone has some degree of PT something D. The bigger question here is, how many people are so angry out there and taking things out in the world that they're giving the impression that the whole world is angry, that everyone's pissed at each other? The fact is, I think that some of the angriest people out there that I've met are the ones who are the most unwilling to change their mind. The most pissed off people that I've seen are the ones who are the most stubborn and dug in. And these can include preachers and televangelists who, you know, damn you for not believing me type attitude. This can be, you know, extreme politics on one side or another. But usually religious and political views are the ones that dominate people's minds the most. And it comes down to a very simple reason. People want control over their lives. And you don't get that from life. You get that from a creation in your mind of what is true. And that may be a leader that's going to save you. That may be a God that's going to save you. And that works for people. And I think that's wonderful. But what's happening today is changing our brains. All the different things that we're facing in the world. All the different things, adverse issues that we have to face. And I'd like to read one final thing, which is called How the Dark Shadow of COVID is Changing Our Brains. It's from northeastern.edu. It says, and I'll read this and I'll be done. The threat of COVID-19 has been looming over our lives for a year and a half. We've had questions whether seemingly mundane behaviors may lead to someone's death, or if we or someone we love may get severely sick. Our financial forecast and job stability have been at risk. Uncertainty about the future has reigned and was renewed with the emergence of variants of the coronavirus that causes COVID. For many people, a year and a half feeling stressed out has worn on us. And say, Northeastern psychologists, the emotional long haul of the pandemic and the emotional stress it induces could have lingering effects within your mind and body. Before COVID, you were used to a certain level of comfort or stability in your day-to-day life. And that was completely disrupted when COVID hit for basically everybody, says Rebecca Shanksy. When you're living with that kind of uncertainty, that's going to change the way your brain is going to work. Typically, when your brain perceives a threat, it triggers two main hormonal responses in your body, explains Heather, associate professor of psychology at Northeastern. One system releases epinephrine, which is commonly known as adrenaline, and the other releases cortisol. Together, these hormones make your body poised and ready to react to a threat. To set off a sort of a fight or flight response, and side note, fight, flight, or freeze, and freeze is what a lot of Americans have done here. To set off a sort of fight or flight response, the adrenaline in your body spikes quickly in the face of a perceived threat or acute stressor. The hormone gives you a lot of energy to react, and it also activates your immune system.
That way, he says, it can fight pathogens, fight bacteria, because you can imagine if you're under acute stress and someone's chasing you, you'd better be ready to heal wounds and things like that. And so, I'm not going to read the rest of this. It goes on to basically say what we all know, which is that stress lowers the immune system. And when you're angry, you are stressed. When you're frustrated and blaming others and feeling anger in your heart or in your body, you are stressed and you are actually causing yourself to be more likely to get sick. And because a lot of people are worried about getting COVID, this doubles up their issues. I don't consider it the biggest threat on earth by any means, but for a person who's constantly anxious, who eats McDonald's, doesn't care about their health, it's going to be a problem. And I think that's why a lot of Americans have panicked, because they know that they're not healthy. Now, this is a tough one, because a lot of folks don't want to admit that this is actually going on, that a lot of people are mad at others, not because of what others are doing, but because of their own chances of mortality or what may happen to them, which is all a perceived threat anyway. We don't know. We just don't know. But there's so many unknowns in the world right now that we're just angry at each other for no reason. And I've decided for myself to not have that. I don't want my immune system lowered by being angry at other people. So therefore, I ride the middle. I ride that, you know, that living on the edge of that fucking blade. It's tough. It's hard. I also know that on a totally separate side of this, that chaos, fear, anger sells. It sells big time. The media revels in it. And it's important that we don't buy into that. It would be beautiful to see a future where the news was pretty mundane, because really that's how it should be. But we're creating problems that don't exist so we can fight among each other. And it's got to stop. We need to improve the way that we do things. Otherwise, we're just going to eat ourselves alive. So, thanks for coming along. I'm going to end the video portion of this next, and if you want to hear the rest, check out the podcast. Thanks for listening. And for those of you out here listening to the podcast, I wanted to say y'all mean a lot to me, and I appreciate you coming along. I'm going to read my list of patrons real quick here before I finish, because I don't want to forget. We've got Kendra Tolliver, Dane, Ken, Deedster, Real Folk Blues, Speciosa Saves, Jordan Vigil, Jairus. We've got Dan Riley. What's up, Dan? Owen Howell, Trisha Bell, Wellbeing, Charles Castaneda, Sean Schwartzwelder, Violetta Doroshenko, Steven, Ryan L., Pure Brew, Josh O'Brien, Robin W., Zelda Zonk, Tim Smith, River Milliken, Adam Manzinson, Matthew Langheim, Matt Hemingway, Jake Dugan, MJ Pritchett, Sean Fitzpatrick, Bill Hunt, Highway Child, Seam Bob McBroderick, Rob Franzen, Chris Morales, Algirdas Valid, Algirdas Vallis, Brianna Rotten, Jake Alberg, Alexander Walpole. Why does it have to do that? Alexander J. Walpole, Russell E. Mom, Pia Ewings, Rika Evenoon, The Hill and Moon, Mumps, John Peterson, Joshua Nicholson, Don Starnes, Deborah Chan, and William Hall. Appreciate you all immensely. Even my new patron, which I can't recall the name right now. I haven't put him on the list, but y'all mean a lot to me, and give me faith in keeping going, and it means a lot. Now, if you want to become a patron, check me out at Patreon at Carpo719. I have merchandise available soon. I'm working on these tie-dyes. Everything's going to be handmade and badass. I'm going to be finally getting this shit on board. I'm kind of the lazy hippie type. I try to get things done. I want to do things quality and lose faith in my own ability to get things done properly. So, you know, I started this podcast maybe about a year ago, and this is probably episode 52. And all this time I've wanted to have people on. So don't be shy. Visit me on YouTube. Leave a comment. Tell me you want to be interviewed. If you have a story to share, send me an email. If you want to send it private, at carpo420@comcast.net. And I read every email, I read every comment, every post that I can if I see it. And I would like to interview people about their lives. I'm just kind of awkward like the rest of the world, and doing my best to interact with people, be responsible, use the internet to communicate my thoughts. And if there's any message I could give you here that I want actually people to take away, it's to be fucking honest with ourselves and to stop lying about what we know to be true. The internet, and check out my previous video. I don't know if I mentioned this in my previous podcast, but the dead internet theory is creepy. You know, there's have been studies to show that 50% of the internet traffic is bots. Huge percentage, 40 million, I think, Twitter accounts were bots. We have a lot of fake comments and AI out there, which makes it look like everybody's angry. And it just riles you up and makes you more angry. And if you're one of the people who buys into that, you know deep down inside you're one of the ones. Whenever I feel that brewing, I let it go. But I know that everybody I've talked to feels the same thing. They hear a story and they can't believe a kid's being treated this way, or this happened at a school, or this happened here. But really, you've got to ask yourself, with all the discussion in the media about all this crap, and they're going to take your guns, they're going to take your jobs, immigration, CRT, you realize our cities are falling apart because they're not being taken care of, and that all of your tax dollars are being siphoned off to multinational corporations, bailout packages from 2008 given to banks, Wall Street. We are being completely fucked from the back, and people are not even blaming the right people. So if you're going to be mad at the right folks, and at least be aware that your neighbor is not your enemy. And that would be the message I want to share. Because when you talk to people face to face, you find out that they're not just, you know, a hater or an anti-American. They're just people. Just people trying to live their lives. It ain't easy to be alive. It's even harder when people assume things about each other. So listen to people's arguments. Listen to people. If they've got no evidence, then their argument might fall apart. But the best we can do is listen. Thanks for coming along, my friends, and I appreciate your time. Y'all take care of each other now. Carpo, over and out. Did I just say over and out? Over and out? Over and out. Changing our minds was never said to be easy. Honesty to ourselves seems to be in short supply. Living on the edge of the plate is uneasy. But there ain't no alternative to telling ourselves a lie. Peace.